I've ever worked.
Was that? Oh, it was from. Was it Carolina Country?
Yeah, that's
it.
It was terrible. Oh, I was going to show you.
Okay.
Why don't you cut that off?
Okay. Oh, so you start. He was. He grew up here in Clay County.
He was janitor. He was born and reared in Tuskegee on Peckerwood Road. Well, when he wanted to go to high school, he didn't have any money to buy anything with, so he became janitor of the school to go to high school. Later, when he finished college and came back here, he became principal of that high school. And that had been quite a number of years. I don't remember just exactly how many, but I thought that's a pretty good story. He was a born teacher, wonderful teacher. And I have to tell you just one story about him. He taught history, by the way. He loved history. And he told his children one day that eventually we would go to the moon. Now, this was back in the late 30s, you see, 38 and 39. He told them that eventually we'd go to the moon and we would have landing places in the air. Well, one of the kids went home and told his daddy about it. And his daddy said, "Why, he's a damn fool. You don't need to go to school till a man's got no more sense than that." And unfortunately, that boy's father didn't live to see this the moon, Titan and all those Apollos and all those that have been to the moon. He didn't live to see that, and I'm sorry. But maybe he knows about it.
Right.
We don't know where he is. But Jay Walter,
he might be closer to the moon than we are, right?
That's right. But Jay Walter was a born teacher. In fact, he had a debating team that won in the district about 3 years in succession, and he took them to Raleigh to compete in the state. And I believe that one year they won in the state, but I'm not positive about that. But anyway, those kids still come back to see him. There were five of them who came back about 6 years ago and had lunch here. We had a Lazy Susan table at that time. Since that, I've sent it to the grandson in California. But I had them all here, and I prepared the lunch for them. They had a wonderful time with Jay Walter. Two girls and three boys were, you know, they were trained. They didn't all debate at the same time, but that was the number of them. And they all expressed appreciation for him. One of the boys flew back from California when he took for his funeral. And I didn't want him to do that. I don't go with that sort of thing, but he wanted to, so it was up to him.
So how did you all meet, and when did you get married?
Well, Jay Walter was married when I came here to a lovely woman whom I liked very much, and he had two children. And the children were 6 and 10. When his wife had to go to Gainesville for an appendectomy, he and his mother-in-law went to bring her home after a 10-day stay in the hospital. And they were sitting in the waiting room, waiting for her to come, when a nurse came in and told him she had just died.
Oh my God.
And it was a horrible, horrible situation for him. He said the first thing he said was, "Oh, my poor little children." Well, naturally, he would think about them because they were very close to their mother. Well, people felt very sorry for him. We weren't here during that period. We were in Raleigh for a week to a state meeting, and we weren't here for her funeral or any of those things, but later we expressed our condolences and all that. And we liked him very much, just as a person to work with. He worked very closely with us, letting us have our club meetings in the school, which was very nice. And when we had some guests, in fact, we had guests to watch, to see our agricultural and home demonstration program from Greece, two girls from Greece, two girls from South America, five bankers from Yugoslavia, And I don't remember, but anyway, we had people like that constantly coming to see what the people had done with such a little bit of land and how they managed. And I thought it was pretty wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, J. Walter cooperated very closely with us with anything like that. After a 3-year period, I was on a program in Tuskegee with Dr. Fred Moss, the library is named Moss Memorial Library for him. He was on the program and I was. And that afternoon, J. Walter was at the program, and that afternoon he came by my little house in West Hayesville. I built a house in order to have a place to live and bring my mother up here. And incidentally, one of the men in TBA helped me to get permission to do it the year before the war ended. You know, we couldn't do that sort of thing, but he helped me get permission to do it. And so I built that little house, and J. Walter stopped by, and he said, you know, I would like to come to see you and get acquainted with you a little bit better. And I said, for what? I'm serious. That was just what I said. He said, well, just to get to know you better. And so we just got together, and I think ours was a matter of true respect and admiration. I admired him for what he had accomplished, because he started out as poorly, if not more poorly, than we did down home. And he had accomplished a great deal. And he lived up to the principles that he had been taught. His mother and father were very smart people, uneducated, just like my folks were, but they had a lot of common sense. His daddy taught adult education in this county long before the state started it. He would have people come into their living room at night, and he would teach them to read and write. He told me when I first came here, long before I had even met J. Walter, he said he helped people to build, to get windows in their homes. He had cut out windows where they didn't have any to get light into their homes, and he had taught them to read to get light for their souls. Now that's the way he expressed it. Wasn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
And he was a sweet old gentleman. Walked 6 miles from his home to town, and if somebody stopped to pick him up, he'd say, thank you so much, but I'm walking for my health. He was a tiny little man, but he lived to be 97 years old and was keen as a briar to the day he died. And so J. Walter had a good background. His mother was a Sellers, and her folks were from Sellersville, Pennsylvania. They were Dutch, and his father's people were French. And his father was artistic. He could draw, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If he had been trained, he could have been an artist.
Mm-hmm.
If he'd been trained, he could have been a college professor. He has a great-grandson who's going to get his doctorate this year in ministry.
Uh-huh.
His J. Walter's daughter's son, uh-huh. J. Walter's grandson, will get his doctorate from, I think he's going to Spartanburg to, oh darn it, I never can remember names when I need it most.
There's Wofford College.
No, I know that's for women, but what's the other one?
I don't know. Converse, that's there. Furman.
Furman.
Mm-hmm.
Furman is one I think that he got his master's from, mm-hmm. and I think he'll go back there for his doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going in July. He was trained at Bob Jones University. Connie went, that's his mother, went over there to put the children in the academy. And from the Hiawassee school, they were there 2 years, and her son, Barry, was a valedictorian of his class at Bob Jones Academy. And the following year, her daughter, Angela, was salutatorian of her class. Uh-huh. So evidently Hiawassee had trained them pretty good uh-huh. academically, uh-huh. a good basic training uh-huh. before they went there. Well, he was trained at Bob Jones, and then we sent him for a year to the University of Georgia, where he studied Greek, and 1 year to Philadelphia, to Westminster, where he studied Yiddish. I mean, what do you call it? What do the Israelis?
Must Yiddish?
Well, that's what he studied. Yeah,
Hebrew.
Hebrew. I couldn't think of the word Hebrew. Well, he was a whiz in both. Huh. And so his professors told him what he needed to do was to get trained and teach languages in a college. Hmm. Well, J. Walter had hoped that that's the reason we were anxious for him to go. We paid his way and sent him to both those places, hmm. and we're glad to do it. And I think eventually he'll be in college mm-hmm. to teach mm-hmm. kids mm-hmm. because he is smart. Mm. And of course, somebody who traces intelligence will start with the great grandfather mm-hmm. and come mm-hmm. right on down. Mm-hmm. and we are likely to do that.
One of the things that you were talking about that I'm interested in is poultry and chickens, and I'm real interested in how poultry raising went from being primarily a woman's occupation to a man's occupation. Can you sort of trace how that happened here in Clay County?
Yes, I can. I think actually the real reason was that it was at that particular time that it happened. You know, timing is the main thing. And at this particular time, we had people who, the feed men, knew all about poultry and how to help people. And then the man who was here, Eugene Starnes, who was here to help them with poultry, knew how to build the houses to take care of them, you see, mm-hmm. properly. And so we had, and there was a poultry man from TVA who helped also, you see. We had help from three different areas. And so, do you know that Clay County is sitting in a very strategic situation in 2 hours drive, we can be in huge cities with over 5 or 6 million population. So you see, we have marketing. Mm-hmm. It's easy because they were trucks to take those eggs to market, mm-hmm. for example. J. Walter went into the poultry business. We had a little place up in West Hayesville. He bought he built two big poultry houses. They're still in use. Huh. It's the only one that's left in Clay County that's fully automated that he started.
So what, do you remember what year he started those?
Well, it would have to be in the, we went out to one of you in the 57. It would have to be in the late 40s or early 50s, mm-hmm. one of those 2 years. Mm-hmm. I really don't remember mm-hmm. accurately. Mm-hmm. He would if he were here. Mm-hmm. I wish he was here to tell you, because mm-hmm. he was very articulate when it came to Clay County. So
TVA helped to do that, but then also, well, you're very close to Gainesville,
Georgia. We were close to Gainesville, and Gainesville was a poultry center mm-hmm. of the Southeast, mm-hmm. and still is, I think. Mm-hmm. And then the dairy, you see, we were on that route that Coble, he would make to come through here, mm-hmm. so it was easy to establish grade A dairies. Mm-hmm. But then it got to be so expensive. They had to buy so much equipment mm-hmm. to keep it up to date mm-hmm. that it was too expensive. Mm-hmm. And the dairying just didn't last. Mm-hmm. I think there's still three poultrymen, but the one that is in West Hayesville is the one that's completely automated, mm-hmm. and it's J. Walter's nephew. Mm-hmm. who has it. We let him have that farm mm-hmm, up there mm-hmm. for a good price. Mm-hmm. Perfectly beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And that's where I built my little house, was in West Hayesville.
Uh-huh. Well, so far as working with the women at that time when you came here, were you trying to teach them any kind of money making, trying to help them generate income in addition to changing their houses?
Well, mostly they did not have anything except their crafts, and they developed, some of them developed some of the crafts that they could market, and some of the women were already doing some crafts, like quilting and crocheting and that sort of thing, but they did not develop anything that of significance. Mm-hmm. Like now they had a Saturday morning marketing of their vegetables on the square, mm-hmm. that sort of thing, and the women were chiefly responsible for that, mm-hmm. and that helped a little, but no, they didn't develop anything like a cooperative, mm-hmm. for example. Mm-hmm. But there was one thing that grew out of, I think it grew out of Extension, the Historical Arts Council, which meant a lot to the people in the county in preserving our heritage. Mm-hmm. And they have the old jail now for an art museum. Huh. And I think that grew out of the Extension, mm-hmm. service, because mm-hmm. the one woman who started that was a pastor's wife, not here, but elsewhere, but the man had grown up here. Edgar Price had grown up here in the county, and his wife started that Arts Council, and it has continued.
Hmm.
And so they have created the side of the people, the aesthetic, I guess you'd call it, mm-hmm. side of the people, and also we have the Licklog Players, which a group of people who put on plays constantly during the year, and that attracts a lot of people from outside of Clay
uh-huh,
County.
Uh-huh.
And one woman built a big theater over here. Ordinarily you could see it from my window, but you can't today because there are too many trees uh-huh. between us and it. But it's a great big theater. Big enough for a small town, huh. easily, and looks like a small town theater, and I think we're going to be able to keep it.
Huh.
She died, and it was left, I don't know exactly, I'm not familiar with what we have to do in order to keep it, but mm-hmm. I think we'll be able to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that helps the people, and mm-hmm. then we have a marvelous librarian who encourages reading and all of that sort of thing, mm-hmm. and I encourage it in my column, of course, mm-hmm. reading as being one of the main things we need to mm-hmm. teach our children,
mm-hmm.
and but the women I would say more or less provide the cultural background mm-hmm. for the men,
mm-hmm.
and we have no longer do agriculture, as some of the men have beef cattle. I think there are about six or eight mm-hmm. beef cattle farms. But we no longer grow. We tried horticulture, but people don't want to work that hard.
Mm-hmm.
I am sure that tourism, you know, bed and breakfast would succeed, but they don't even want to do that. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's hard work. J. Walter and I, after both of us retired in 1957, bought this place out on Lake Wonderview, and we went out there, and for 17 years we had a little summer resort. Huh. And we had a group of people from Michigan who started that big thing over on Unicoi Gap in Georgia to come visit over here. In fact, they made their plans for it on our living room floor out of Wonderview. And they said that we were doing exactly what this area needed. Well, what we were doing was having paying guests and offering nothing except good meals and relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
No entertainment except a big front porch where everybody gathered, and we had such a good time. J. Walter was marvelous at telling tall tales, and he knew a lot of them from Tusquity. And it was just such a relaxed situation. Mm-hmm. Well, we did that for 17 years after we quit work. And he was a master at entertaining. Mm-hmm. He was a perfect host. Mm-hmm. And he grew a garden. All the vegetables on our table were fresh. And we only had it in the summer, you know. Mm-hmm. We didn't stay in the winter. We closed up in October, the last of October. Mm-hmm. One year we stayed through Thanksgiving for a special group in Atlanta, but that was only one year. Mm-hmm. But that was a really, that's when we gave the Hinton Center, you know, when we bought that thing, that building was started at the top of the hill, and we gave it, J. Walter, thinking that it would be used by our church for young people, you know, to do something. Mm-hmm. But we had no idea that it would grow to the extent it has, but it caught the interest of the Southeastern Jurisdictional Secretary, and he took it from there. So we were just sitting in the living room one night, and Jay Walter said, "Velma, let's buy that place out of one of you." We got it for $40,000. Huh. It's easily worth $1 million now. Huh. Easily. And somebody asked him, after one of his brothers asked him, he said, "Jay Walter, didn't you know you gave the best part of that land you bought out there to the church?" Jay Walter said, "Well, weren't we taught, didn't our parents teach us to give our best to the Lord?" His brother had nothing to say, but yes, they did. So, and he said, we have a VCR of him, and he said, "I never dreamed that it would amount to what it is today." Mm-hmm. But you know, you can't tell when the Lord's... He got real disgusted one year because we had a director that he didn't like, and he wasn't very good up there. And Jay Walter said, "Well, Mom, I wish we'd have never given that place." I said, "Don't say that, because if the good Lord means for it to succeed, it will, Jay Walter. And it has proved that's a fact." Mm-hmm. I think that God was in it all the time, because Jay Walter was a good man. There's no doubt about that. He lived what he believed. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's what's important. It's not how much money you make, but it's whether you can live up to your principles or not. It's whether you're a decent person. Mm-hmm. Well, he was a decent person. I was a better person for having lived with him, I can tell you that. Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel with my husband. He makes me a better human being. Well, yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is.
What does he do?
He's a folklorist. In fact, I was thinking I might.
Well, you want to go to the folk school?
We are going to go there. He knows Jan Davidson.
Oh, does he? Well, I'm so glad.
Yes, we're going to go there this afternoon. But I was thinking I might, after we finish up, I might go and get him and bring him back and ask him to take a picture of you, because he can work the camera if you would be willing.
Honey, I would love to meet him.
Yeah.
I will feel so happy if you'll do that.
Okay, I'll do that once we finish up, because we have a camera in the car, but he knows how to, and it's got some film in it, but he knows how to do it better than I do. So
I'd be glad
I'll
to
run back and
not
get
that
him.
I want my picture particularly, but because, and I look awful.
Oh, you look great.
Let me tell you, I was sick all of Jay Walter died in 95. Well, in 94 he had two serious surgeries, and I was with him in Atlanta, and I stayed with him in his room. I didn't have a room outside and come back and forth, but I stayed with him in his room the full time. Mm-hmm. And then in 95, if he didn't feel well, and he'd come in here and sit in that chair at night, whatever time I came in, and lay down on the couch. So you see, his appetite was not good, so he didn't eat very well. I didn't eat very well. Well, and when he died in November of 95, I was just completely exhausted. And I spent most of my time in the hospital in 95, rest of 95, and all of 96. I was in and out. So I'm just now getting so I can walk real good. You know, it's a funny thing. When you've been in the hospital so much, you get so you can't walk. Well, I'm walking down to the mailbox and back now, mm-hmm. once a day.
Mm-hmm.
And next week I'll be doing it twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just now getting to the place where I can walk.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, I've been able to keep my mind,
mm-hmm.
not clearly. I'm not as keen as I was. And my recall isn't—you've noticed—it's not as.
Oh, I think your—I think your recall has been pretty amazing.
No, I'm not very good. I don't. My words mm-hmm. don't come as easily as they one time did.
Well, I wanted to get back to when you first started with the extension, and was Jane McKimmon? I'm trying to get.
She was
still. She was still there, wasn't she?
And she, I did. Would you believe I did her eulogy?
Really?
Yes, I did. But it was in the, it was not at her funeral. It was in the outside, the gym, not the gymnasium, wait, amphitheater.
Uh-huh.
Amphitheater.
At State?
Yeah, at State College. Uh-huh. Yeah, I did that one night. And I still have it. I read it not too long ago.
Wow, I'd like to see that. Or if you could just recall what you said about her.
Oh, honey, I can't possibly, because I was able to write well in those days. I don't write so well nowadays. If I can find it while you're gone,
okay.
I'll look it up.
Okay.
I don't know exactly where it is, mm-hmm. but I'll see if
mm-hmm.
I can.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what's your memory of her when you met her?
Well, she and Dean Schaub share. I'll talk about both of them together because they were interested in the rural people of North Carolina, and they were willing to do everything they could to see that they had a chance to develop. They just like you and I feel, you don't give people money to spend, you give them something to live by so that they can make money in order to spend,
mm-hmm.
you know, that sort of thing. They knew and they organized. I was a tomato club girl.
Were you?
Yes, and Mrs. Wynn in Lincoln County was the, now you see I can remember her name. Mrs. Wynn was my person who trained me, I don't know what they were called in those days, but it wasn't a home demonstration, it was something else. But she liked my mother very much, and they always came out in time for lunch, for example. And so I was a tomato club girl when I was a little fella. And Mrs. McKimmon knew that. And so that's the kind of people she tried to get into extension, because we knew where we came from. We were there and we had done that.
Mm-hmm.
So we were, you know, you can't take a city girl and have her be a home demonstration agent out in the country, because
mm-hmm.
she doesn't know anything about the
mm-hmm.
country. And it's natural. She isn't supposed to. But now it's urbanized mm-hmm. to the extent that they do it, and because the people who are in extension now are pretty well trained people
mm-hmm.
in this county.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the things when I was doing research for my dissertation, it became clear to me that at a certain point, probably about the time that you joined Extension, that there, or maybe earlier even, there became increasing emphasis on your formal training,
right.
having a degree.
That's right.
I mean, that first tomato club agent, she might have had a degree, she might not have. Those very first agents, the qualifications were very vague. At
that's
that point.
Right.
But
and
then, more as it became more formalized, then the need for a degree became.
Yeah. Well, the same thing true of teachers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, teachers used to just get a certificate.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember when they did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's sort of the equivalent of that.
Yeah.
It's just increased in
mm-hmm.
your certificate.
But Ms. McKimmon, and let me tell you, she was, first of all, a lady. Everything was, she didn't have to put on airs. She was just a natural lady.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ruth Currant was too, who followed her.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them. Ruth Currant was just as lovely.
Mm-hmm.
But Ms. McKimmon had a special charm that I guess you'd call it old worldly. But it was southern.
Mm-hmm.
we like to think mm-hmm. it was Southern. I don't know whether it was typically or not, but we like to think it
mm-hmm.
was.
Mm-hmm.
And everything she did was just right mm-hmm. as far as we were concerned. Mm-hmm. We'd die for Ms. McKimmon, you mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. anything.
That's always the sense that I've gotten from reading her yeah. autobiography, the yeah. When We're Green We Grow, and
that is a good book.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. It was well written.
Mm-hmm. My sense is that it must have been hard for Ruth Curran to follow in Jane McKimmon's footsteps.
No, it isn't.
No?
No, it isn't. It's easier to follow a good person than it is one who's done poorly. It was for me in school, for example.
Mm-hmm.
If the person before me had done well, then it was much easier to follow her, because it made me work harder mm-hmm. and do well,
mm-hmm.
you see. And I know a lot of people feel that way, that if you follow a good person, you are poorer immediately in the eyes of the people. But I don't think that's true every time.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it is. Because
uh-huh.
people look at you and say, oh, well, she's not nearly as good as, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's what a lot of people mm-hmm. feel.
I guess I feel like that, I guess I was thinking that